Well, I cannot think of a better introduction for our next speaker than what we just heard. Ambassador at Large for International Religious Freedom. And I cannot think of a better individual to be filling that role than Sam Brownback, who is with us tonight. I'm not finished yet, Sam. I've known Sam longer than probably anybody else I know in Washington, D.C. In fact, when I was a poor candidate running for office, he let me sleep on his sofa. So I've known Sam, prayed with him for years. Sam grew up on a pig farm in Kansas, so he understands a little bit about what it means to cut the pork. And he has a very good conservative record in the Senate, and then went on to be the governor of Kansas, where he passed more pro-life laws and saved more babies than any governor in the history of the state. But on that pig farm, he learned firsthand about hard work, responsibility, and teamwork. And Sam's passion for public service began when he attended Prairie View High School and was elected state president for the Future Farmers of America, and later the national FFA vice president. Sam then attended Kansas State University, where he served as a student body president. He received his degree in agricultural economics in 1978 and attended the University of Kansas Law School, where he served as class president before completing his degree in 1982. Sam met his wife Mary there, and they have been married for over 30 years, and they live in Topeka with their five children. In 1986, Sam became secretary of Kansas Board of Agriculture, the youngest in the state's history. During his time as Ag Secretary, Sam served as a White House Fellow in the George H.W. Bush administration. In 1994, he was elected to Congress. 2 years later, Kansans elected Sam to the U.S. Senate seat that was once held by Bob Dole. In 2010, he was elected the 46th governor of Kansas. And on January 31st, 2018, Sam resigned as governor upon his confirmation as U.S. Ambassador at Large for International Religious Freedom. He has long been working on the issue of international religious freedom and the rights of the oppressed. I've seen him back when he was in the Senate through his office working to rescue people traveling to places unknown that most Americans couldn't even pronounce the places, to rescue those whose lives were hanging in the balance because of tyrants. And this is further evidence of Donald Trump's commitment to religious freedom by selecting not an academic who's going to study the problem, but elect a passionate man of God who is going to help solve the problem and bring hope to people around the globe. Please welcome our good friend, Ambassador Sam Brownback.
Thanks, Tony. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thanks very much. Thank you. Thank you all. Thanks, Tony. It's very kind, although I don't know about following that choir. Those guys were awesome. And I was watching some of those moves, my neck started hurting just watching it. But I'd seen them before. And I know where Uganda is. I've been there. One of the worst things in the world that had ever happened, there was the Lord's Resistance Army in northern Uganda and the Invisible Children. But they've really turned the place around. It's great, great to see. Let's give Tony a round of applause for being the head of this great group. He does a great job with it, Tony. Thank you. I've been a fan of Tony's for a long time, and he is in the right place and doing the right thing. I also got something else I want you to recognize, if you would. It was 24 years ago this year that the second wave of the Reagan Revolution took place. And that was the class of 1994, elected to Congress, first Republican Congress in 50 years since Dwight Eisenhower was president. Came in at that point in time. A couple of us are here tonight that I want you to recognize. Tom DeLay was the majority leader of that group. Tom, where are you? Right there. And David McIntosh is David. Where are you? You were here. I saw you earlier, at least. There he is. Okay, David's over there. He was the intellectual leader of the class, and who famously said, What did you say? What was it? Rome didn't burn in a day. You know, it's going to take us longer than that here. It was quite a revolution. But that we were the second wave. We were children of Ronald Reagan, political children of Ronald Reagan. And Washington's not been the same since. And things have been different. A number of us have stayed around and done different things. But you have been a big part of it. A number of you have been supporters of us all along. And I hope you can take some solace or pride in the fact that things have changed. And they are different. And I'm going to submit to you tonight that things are going to change on religious freedom. And this is a moment, and this is going to happen. We're not going to just talk about it anymore. And we're not going to take on water anymore. We're going to start winning in this battlefield on religious freedom. And that's important. One other guy I want you to meet and recognize, Marvin Smith. Marvin, where are you right now? There he is. Marvin's over here. Marvin played for the Oakland Raiders, and I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan, so we hate the Raiders. But Marvin's a brother, and I've been walking with a number of men in my life over a number of years, and Marvin, the last couple years, has brought into my life by Chris Halverson. And he walks with me, and I walk with him. And we've been working on racial reconciliation work. He does a lot of education charter work, and he was willing to come over from Southern California area to be here and support me tonight. So, Marvin, thanks for being here. Appreciate that. Appreciate the work that you do. One final thing before I get in the meat of the topic. I just, 10 days ago, I left, resigned being governor of the state of Kansas to take on this ambassadorship job. I had less than a year left in the governorship. It's a two-term term limits, which I wouldn't have run for another term even if I could. I'm a believer in term limits. I did in the Senate. I believe for it in the governorship. My thought was, and I hope a lot of you will support governors and states that want to change things, because you change America by changing states. That's how you get it done. We did a big tax plan in the state of Kansas. I got criticized endlessly for it, but we penetrated and we pioneered the area of small business tax cuts that then moved into the Trump plan. And we took the tax all off of small business. LLC, sub-S, pass-through income, we went to zero. We saw record small business formation over a period of 5 years that we had that. We saw record job creation when you take the taxes off of small business. And some of that came on in and moved into the Trump tax plan. Now, I got criticized endlessly from the left. They didn't like this, but it works. And you change America by changing state. We did welfare reform. We said if you're an able-bodied individual without children, without dependents, you have to do one of two things. You either have to apply for work or take job training. All right? That's all you got to do. Apply for work or take job training. We saw the number of people leaving poverty go up 127% by doing that simple thing. You got to do this. And we even saw the marriage rates go up as people became more, I can do this. I don't need to be dependent on the government. And I think you're going to see welfare reform. I think you're going to see prison reform come out of the Trump administration. We've done a bunch of that, and we cut recidivism rates by doing those things. You change America by changing states, and so I hope you do be very supportive of state efforts. One final thing that I want to say as a thank you to people in this group is those of you that came around Donald Trump early or right after the primary, thank you. He was not my first pick in this primary that we just had. Matter of fact, he was way down the list for me. I think he was 16th of 17. Because I couldn't go with Pataki, who is pro-choice. I couldn't do that. But, I was looking, I was going, no, he's a businessman. I don't know if he's Republican or Democrat and all that. Everything that you've heard, I confess, I went through that. And I'd supported Rubio early on, and I knew a number of the guys, and I knew their faith. And so, I was going, I'm really confident. I am impressed with this president. I'm impressed with what he has done. In a year, ISIS has gone from 30% of Iraq to virtually zero of Iraq. And that ties into religious freedom. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later on. The economy's cooking along at over 3%. We had heard other people say, oh, couldn't do that. It's too mature of an economy to do it. It's cooking over 3%, could hit 3.5%. I hope we can get to 4% with it. Jobs pouring in, dollars pouring back into America, taking place right now. And then one thing I'd worked on a dozen years, couldn't get done. We are recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and moving our embassy there. And I tried for a dozen years, along with a number of other leaders, to try to get this. This was the only place in the world where we don't have our embassy in the capital city. And you'd come up against the foreign policy community and say, oh, you can't do that. This is going to blow the whole world up if you do something like that and you move. Trump not schooled by the foreign policy community. Trump being Trump, just did it. The world didn't blow up. You had a couple protests in places, and we will be blessed by doing this. This is the right thing to do. It's always good to do what God says you ought to do. This is just a basic one. I learned in law school, it's always a bad idea to commit a felony. You know, when I was thinking, how long did it take to figure that out, you know? Well, how long does it take for us to figure out it's just good to do what God says you ought to do? Do we really believe that the nation was one nation under God? Do we really believe it's in God we trust? Do we really believe that that's our motto? And if so, then maybe we ought to look at the book and see what he says. And I am really thankful for that, for the president doing these things, and I'm thankful for a number of you as religious, spiritual leaders that came around Trump and loved him and loved on him and encouraged him. And I think that has really made a huge difference in his life. And he just keeps moving in these topics, and I'm ecstatic about it. I really am. Religious freedom is the biggest foreign policy issue of our day. The biggest. I'm going to back this up. It's the biggest human rights issue of our day. 80% of the world's people are in some sort of religious persecution environment now. 80% in some sort of way that they can't. It is the first right. It is your first right that you get to do and choose what you do with your own soul. That's a premier right that you have. Out of it, virtually everything else flows. If you get this one right, the other things come with it. If you get this one wrong, the other things are crushed alongside it. This is a critical foreign policy issue. And then I want to add this one to it. It is one of the lead, if not the lead, security issues of our day. Security issues of our day. The head of the CIA is a fellow Kansan, Mike Pompeo. I was talking with him the other day about this, and he says he sees it all over in his sort of work. And just think about it for a moment. If somebody told you, we are not going to allow you to practice your faith the way you see fit. We're not going to allow you to raise your children the way you believe you should raise your children. We're not going to allow you to worship the way you believe you should. What would you do? Would you just say, oh, okay, I guess it didn't mean that much to me anyway. I'll just kind of, all right, I don't need to go to church and I don't need to really raise my kids. So I'll just do something else. Is that what you would do? Is there anybody in this room that's what you would do? What would you do? You would fight. You would fight with everything you have. Because this is deep within you. This isn't some issue that's a pocketbook issue, or it's something that, you know, you just choose this and you amongst any 10 things. This is who you are. This is deep within you. You're going to fight. Well, you know what? It's an interesting thing. Around the world, that's the way other people operate too. You don't let them practice their faith, they're going to fight you. And they'll fight you with whatever they have. So we find that in places where there's more religious freedom, there's less terrorism. We find where there's more religious freedom, there's greater security. We find on the reverse, where there's less religious freedom, there's more terrorism. There's more lack of security. It is the driving security issue of our day as well. And that's now coming out in more of the data. We're able to pull those things together and show it. Unfortunately, this world today, as I say, you've got the highest levels of persecution of people of faith around the world. You've got the highest levels of Christian persecution taking place today around the world. A lot of it amongst our allies of the United States of America. And you're going, why? If this data is that way, and these are our allies, why is this taking place? Any number of reasons. I'm not going to go into those, But I am going to go into the point that this is playing out before us on the national, global stage, and I believe it's going to change. You're seeing it now happening in Burma, with the Rohingya being kicked out of Burma. You're seeing it taking place in the genocide that we have declared, the United States has, in northern Iraq against the Christians and the Yazidis. We've declared it a genocide in the last administration. And this is a place where we're operating. Why is this taking place? This is going to be my first country I'm going to travel into the region where there's a genocide taking place against the Christians and the Yazidis. Why is this happening in the world today? And who can forget the image of the 21 Coptic Christians along the seashore? This is one of the iconic images of the world. It is one of the iconic images of religious persecution. Every one of you can see that in your mind right now. You saw the picture that Frank Gaffney had on his poster here. It was one of the wives of one of the men that had been killed. This is going to stop. This is going to be different. This administration is committed to this cause. I was recruited to this position by the Vice President. He's an old friend, an old ally. He is a great man. He is a wonderful, committed individual, public servant of faith. But let me tell you what's taking place. So I get pulled into this, drawn into this job. I'm delighted to be a part of it. I would do this work for free, but my wife won't let me do that. So they are gonna pay me. We did a reception Thursday of this week in Washington, D.C., pulled it together in about 3 days' notice. We had 400 people there. State Department isn't used to having 30 people come to something, because most people in the United States, State Department, they don't pay attention to it unless it affects its commodity prices. But they care about this one. We had 400 people representing hundreds of groups from all sorts of different religious backgrounds, or none at all. We had the American Humanist Association there. Franklin Graham was there. Mark Burnett and Roma Downey were there. The 7th-ranking top cleric in the Muslim religion was there. You know what they all had in common? They want religious freedom. They want it now. They're being persecuted in their country, in their places. This is happening. This administration is committed to moving on it, and we're going to do it. You've got new leadership in countries like Saudi Arabia that are talking about and engaging religious freedom and talking about moving this forward. We can push them. We will push them. Let me just wrap up on this. This has been a great conference, and you guys are in on this topic. Push now like you never have before on religious freedom. Internationally, these are topics that we can move, and this administration wants to move forward on it. We're going to start having regular sessions, my office is, with people around Washington, D.C. that are engaged on this topic. So we engage the private sector side, the private sector on this. We're going to advocate using the tools. I urge you to advocate using the tools that you have. Tell the story. Always tell it through the eyes of an individual, a person. That's how you move people, obviously, is you move it emotionally and you move it by the stories. And there are literally millions of stories out there. Build alliances in the Congress. Press and move this on forward. And remember, as we do these things, we are giving hope to people around the world that have not seen anybody pushing for them effectively for a long time. They were talking earlier about the Soviet Jewry movement in the 60s and the 70s. And I know Natan Sharansky, who is one of the refuseniks, and he's a guy that I've gotten to know over the years, and I saw him this last year. Remember him saying one time to me that when people started speaking out, and particularly when the president spoke out for them, it gave them hope. They started to see that really something positive could happen. As we speak out for people that are persecuted around the world, it's going to give them hope that something really can happen, and it will happen. Push for it. One time, I'll close on this. I want to thank you guys as a group for allowing me to speak to you. I want to thank many of you in this room for just being wonderful supporters of mine and Tony's and the conservative cause for many, many years. I've been in the battle a long time now, and I have the scars to show for it. But I'm ecstatic about being in it. Tony mentioned the pro-life issues. I signed 19 pro-life bills, but better than that, there were 17,000 fewer abortions in the state of Kansas during the 6 years that we measured than the prior 6 years. 17,000 fewer abortions. That wasn't all because of the policy issues, and there's been a lot of movement for a long period of time, but there are kids alive today because you and others were active in this fight. They wouldn't be alive if you weren't active. You've got to keep pushing it. I got to host Mother Teresa on her last foreign visit to Washington, D.C., last foreign visit to the United States. She went home after she left here, and 8 months later passed away. I hosted her for the Congressional Gold Medal Ceremony. I helped get that for Billy Graham, a great American, and I got it for, I worked to get it for Mother Teresa. She came on the Hill, and we didn't know if she was going to be able to make it there. She's very frail at this point in time, and she didn't know if she was going to come, and she didn't want the medal. I mean, her group asked us, said, well, can we melt the gold down from the Congressional Gold Medal to give to the poor? And we say, you can do whatever you want to, but I would suggest if you're going to do that, just auction it off. You'll get more money for the gold as it's auctioned off as a Congressional Gold Medal. But they didn't want it. They thought if it could be some good and give a message. She comes on Capitol Hill. The only thing she asked for anybody there, was to pray for the sisters. That's the only thing she asked for. Pray for the sisters. Pray for the sisters. And I was saying, that just seems odd to me. I mean, I'm a congressman, I'm a senator at the time. Ask me for $1 billion. That's what you do when you go to members of Congress. Don't ask for prayer. Plus, we're a bunch of dirty politicians. Why do you want us to pray for you? I mean, it should be the other way around. That might work, but I mean, you're asking us. But she was asking for the most powerful thing we could give her, and I asked that of you, to pray for this cause and pray into this cause. I'm going out and putting her in her car as she's getting ready to leave. And I'm really thinking to myself, you know, this is a great person, but I think I caught her on the downhill side. She's just not as sharp or crisp, and she mentally just, I mean, I just thinking, you know, she's just kind of, it reminded me of when Joe Montana played for the Kansas City Chiefs. And some of you will remember that. Joe Montana is still Joe Montana. I mean, he's great. But, I mean, he's older and he's not as crisp. He doesn't move as well and everything. And so I'm thinking this. I wish I'd caught her a few years earlier. She reaches up and grabs my hand, says 3 words 4 times. She just says, all for Jesus. All for Jesus. All for Jesus. All for Jesus. Car door shuts. Drives away, and I'm standing there just wobbly, thinking, I just got the wisdom of the universe in 3 words that she gave to me. And there are people around the world today living on those 3 words, being persecuted, being put to death. They're not scared, they're not in fear, but they are being persecuted and put to death. And it's up to us to speak up for him. Let's go change the world. God bless you all.
Sam, thank you so much. In fact, I asked Ambassador Brownback if this would be okay if we just pray for him right now, since he asked for prayer. I learned a long time ago when you say, I'll pray for you, the best thing to do is stop right then and pray. And so how many will commit to pray for Ambassador Brownback in this mission? If couple of you, I know this is a little, I don't know we've ever done this, but this is the Ambassador for Religious Freedom, so I think it's okay for us to do this. If a few of you would like to gather around Sam and put hands on him, we're just going to pray for him right now. And pray for his protection and for his wife. Some of you ladies commit to pray for his wife. They've been through the ringer politically, and now they're really at the tip of the spear. What, as he said, I agree with him. This is the most critical issue. Father, we thank you for this time that we've heard from Ambassador Sam Brownback, a leader, a man of God that you've used in our nation, in Washington, in the state of Kansas. And now, Lord, I believe he is appointed for this time. And he has asked for prayer, so we stand with him in agreement, Lord, that you would direct his steps, that the Holy Spirit would lead him to guide him to the most appropriate place. Open the gates before him, that the message that he brings will, Lord, in the power that he stands, the shackles will come off from those who are being held bondage in these areas. And Lord, I pray that the administration would remain strong behind him, and so that, Lord, when he speaks, the words are not empty, but the words are powerful, both spiritually and politically. And Lord, I pray that through the work of this office, that the world would realize that America truly does trust in God, and that we are a defender of the weak all around the world. So protect him and his family, and bless them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.